title of my message today is America's New Religion. And a lot of people aren't aware of it, but there's a new religion in America. It came without announcement. It came without fanfare. You didn't hear about it on television, read about it in newspapers or magazines. Nobody even told you there's this new religion that is now upon us. This may be the first time you're hearing about it. But make no mistake, there is a new religion that is upon America. And America is now dominated by this new religion. We're going to read from 2 Thessalonians. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, referring to the coming of the Lord, the great judgment day, the day of the Lord, for that day shall not come unless a falling away come first. And the man of sin is revealed in the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, or that he sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now reflect upon Isaiah 14, where it talks about the satanic rebellion, where Satan says he's going to exalt himself above the stars of heaven and sits in the congregation sides of the north. And so this refers to the same situation, same time, same thing. And we're reading here of Thessalonians that he's going to present himself in the temple and show himself that he is God. America and the entire world is under mass deception. Mass deception has taken hold of every facet of our lives. Mass deception is seen in television and in newspapers and heard on radio, in magazines and billboards, broadcasts and publishers, and all promoting a false, misleading information that presents the satanic rebellion, promotes the satanic rebellion, which is part of this one world church, which is part of this new religion. For the entertainment industry is alive and promotes this mass deception. Movies and music and novels are all used to promote this deception that is on America. This new religion. School books. School books about history and even math books presenting puzzle problems, you know, word problems, paragraph problems. You've got to figure out the answers. Interject this new philosophy, this new religion into the curriculum. Even vacation Bible schools, which are held, as you know, throughout the summer, where little children go to, are presenting this new religion. And nobody is aware that they are involved in it. Why? Because it is mass deception. Christian schools are promoting this new religion, this mass deception. Even salvation tracts that you find sometimes in the store are promoting this new religion that is upon America. This mass deception is necessary to bring about the one world church. And it has only one target. The target is your people. The target is white people. Most Christians are totally unaware of this one world church's deception upon them. They are aware, most Christians are aware that the Bible talks about the one world church. Most Christians are aware, they go to church, they talk about this one world church that's going to be around in the last days. Most Christians are aware that there is a one world church coming. But most Christians are totally unprepared to recognize it when it comes. The deception does not target Africa. It does not target the Philippines. It does not target Indonesia. It does not target Mexico. It does not target Asia. It does not target any of these Arab countries. This mass deception is targeting only one people. It's targeting those who are the children of Europe. whether they live in the United States, or whether they live in Canada, or whether they live in Australia, or South Africa, or New Zealand. Those people, the children of Europe, are the target of this mass deception. It's white people. We're the target of the deception. And they're targeting white people because they are the children of the covenant that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The deception is only targeting those people. And what is this deception? Well, the deception, of course, is the one world church. But primarily, in order to bring about the one world church, there's another deception that must occur first. In order for the one world church to have any foot ground, any traction, you know, any movement, there's another deception that has to occur first. And the deception is they have to change the image of Christ. If we can change the image of Christ, then they can change the religion of Christ. That's why it says, says in Thessalonians that he sits in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. The deception to change the evil of, or the perception of Christ, the deception to change that image, is present the Antichrist as an evil person. Most churches will tell you from childhood, you learn that the Antichrist, that the image, he's this evil person. He's horrible and he's wicked. He will deceive people, but he's horribly wicked and evil. They show pictures of him with pitchforks and ugly faces and things like that. We are told by some prophecy experts that he's going to come make peace with the Jews, and after 3.5 years he'll break his covenant with the Jews, and then Americans go into this long 7-year period of tribulation. And this evil, evil Antichrist will make his appearance. And most Christians are therefore looking for this evil Antichrist to rise up in our midst and going to attempt to destroy the gospel of Christ. And throughout the years there have been many people that have been suggested to have been the Antichrist. Some have suggested Nero was the Antichrist because he persecuted Christians. The Pope, the Catholic Pope, is generally called, so often called, the Antichrist. Charlemagne was called the Antichrist. He helped reestablish the Roman Empire, so they thought, some people thought he was the Antichrist. Napoleon was accused of being the Antichrist. Franklin Roosevelt was considered to be the Antichrist. Mussolini was called the Antichrist. Hitler has been called the Antichrist. Joseph Stalin has been called the Antichrist. John F. Kennedy was called the Antichrist because they thought he was going to reestablish Catholicism in America. Henry Kissinger was called the Antichrist. I remember Henry Kissinger being called by people the Antichrist. And you have all the reasons why they thought that was the case. Same with Kennedy. Ayatollah Khomeini was considered by some to be the Antichrist. Some people thought Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist because each of his three names, Ronald Wilson and Reagan, has six letters in it. 666. So some people said he's the Antichrist. Mikhail Gorbachev was considered by some to be Antichrist, and I guess the little spot on his head didn't help any. People thought he's just natural looking evil. And of course, the latest one people think is Obama's the Antichrist. I've had people call me up on the phone and tell me I'm the Antichrist, you know. I suppose the problem is, the way I see it, is people may not see it the way I do, I understand. But the problem is most Christians are looking for the Antichrist to be a man who attempts to turn people away from Jesus Christ. Most people think, I'll repeat that, most people think the Antichrist is going to be somebody who's going to try to turn people away from Christ. In their mind, these people, this person is going to be an evil person, and he's going to take the teachings of Christ, and he's going to smash them to the ground. That he's going to, we'll hear stories about how the Antichrist, armies of the Antichrist might march into your church and tell people lying against the wall, if they don't believe in Christ, they'll live. But if they say they believe in Jesus, they'll be killed. Those are the stories we hear about this evil Antichrist. He's going to rip Bibles out of people's hands and throw them in the fire. Of course, that's what they say Hitler did. Of course, we know that's not true. We know that really what he burned in those bonfires was pornographic books and communist books and books that promoted abortion, books that promoted sodomy and things like that. But in order to turn people against anybody, rise up against their schemes, they want to portray them sometimes, even them, as the Antichrist. In this way, most churches and Christians show the Antichrist as a totally evil, depraved person. And we've all been taught that this Antichrist we're looking for is a totally depraved, totally opposite from Jesus Christ, just a totally evil person. Extremely wicked. Even though he might put on a good persona, and he might be good looking, and be polite in the attempt to deceive people, he is seeking to destroy Christ. He's Antichrist. He's going to abolish the Christian religion, and he's going to put pastors in jail, and he's going to tear down their churches and things like that, because he's the Antichrist. And this is what the one world church will do. Most Christians think that that as Christians they are somehow protected. Most Christians feel that because they are Christians, they're not going to be deceived, that they're protected. They feel that Christ in them, as Christians, they'll be protected from the deception of the Antichrist. Most churches, most preachers, most Christians believe that. That's simply because of their Christianity, they'll be protected. In Mark, I don't have it on the screen, Mark chapter 13, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he tells them in verse 5, you may read it later, he tells his disciples, take heed that no man deceive you. Now here's where his disciples who walked with him, were with him 24 hours a day, were under his teaching constantly, who were his friends, who knew him, and were learning the teachings of Christ, and even under that close relationship, under the very shadow of the Christ himself, he turned to the disciples and said, be careful, you may become deceived. And if he had this concern for his own disciples, realizing they themselves could be deceived, then Christians must understand they too could be deceived. And indeed they have been. In the same passage, we read about the at the beginning here, right there, it said, lest there come a great falling away. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come until there come a great falling away. It's telling us that there will be a period of time when people fall away from the faith. So that day will, falling away will come first. This word falling away is it's translated in some translations as apostasy. It will become a great apostasy, which will turn people away from Christ. The Holman Christian translation says, the Darby translations all use the word apostasy. Now, the New Century translation, which I have up here, says, unless it comes great turning away. And the New Living translation says, unless that day will not come unless there's a rebellion. And the one I like, the Good News translation, it says the final rebellion. That day will not come when the Antichrist is going to make his appearance, when he's going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. A lot of people miss that part out. Showing himself that he is God. That day would come at the final rebellion. We're in that day now. To me, it's clear that this is speaking about Christians. Christians have been deceived and fell away from the faith. It has to be referring to Christians. It can't be referring to those who are not Christians, because not Christians have no faith to fall away from. Right? If they're falling away from the faith, then it's not non-Christians, it's Christians in the final rebellion are going to fall away from the faith. And this will be at the last day before the great judgment. Revelation 17:14. These shall make war with the Lamb, referring to the rebellion, the Antichrist. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And I pointed out before, so I want to repeat myself, is that a lot of people say, you know, the Bible says we win. I've heard that for years. The Bible doesn't say we win. Anybody says the Bible says we win is mistaken. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we win. Something that's put on the internet, the Bible doesn't say we win. The Bible says God wins. We only win if we're faithful. That's the only way we win. In the midst of this great falling away, this apostasy, this final rebellion, are we faithful? Again, I know that we've been taught that Christians have some kind of protection. Like a protection given away at a parade, like candy given away at a parade. And they think that they're protected from the deception of the Antichrist. All those other people, all those people, those non-Christians, all those Muslims, and all those Buddhists, and all those people who have not given their life to Christ, and all those people, they're going to be deceived through the one world church. But as Christians, we're protected. We're protected from this deception. And most Christians believe that. They really do. They believe that as Christians, they are already in the niche. They're already protected. Of course, everybody believes they're a particular belief is true. That's why they believe it. The Baha religion teaches that every religion is true. I'm not quite sure how that works out, but they believe all religions are true. Even Billy Graham has gone down that road. I remember Billy Graham in the old days, he said, there's no other way but through Jesus Christ, through the cross. And then I look at Billy Graham now, and I wonder, here's a man who talked. There was no other way but through Jesus, and possibly never really understood it himself. In an interview that he did with Robert Schuller, he said very clearly that if you're just following the light, you'll get to heaven. I've got a clip of that if you haven't seen it.
Schuller and Graham, who influenced millions of people around the world, listen now and judge it yourself. Whether the Christ they preach is the Christ of the Bible,
can you hear okay?
The universal Christ of the Church.
Tell me, what do you think is the difference?
Oh.
Well, Christianity.
You people unplugging me.
It's the body of Christ, which comes from all the Christian groups around the world, or outside the Christian groups. I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And I don't think that we're going to see a great sweeping revival that will turn the whole world to Christ at any time. I think James answered that, Apostle James, in the first council in Jerusalem, when he said that God's purpose for this age is to call out a people for his name. Mm-hmm. And that's what God is doing today. Mm-hmm. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven.
This is fantastic. I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. There's a wideness in God's mercy.
There is. Really? Just follow the light? Really? Our concern here is for Christians. I don't want anybody to mistake me. We have concern for non-Christians here also. But we're looking here at how Christians are being deceived. The vast majority of Christians today are already under the spell of the mass deception. It begins with this false understanding of the Antichrist. The deception among Christians does not begin because the Antichrist lies about Jesus. The mass deception begins because the Antichrist lies about the Antichrist. People have been misunderstood about what this Antichrist is. And the Antichrist, again, is not lying about Christ. He's lying about himself. He's lying about the Antichrist. So people have a misconception of what they're observing. My dad used to say, he was a strong conservative, my dad used to say, in a little story, he would say, a liberal came up to a conservative and say, tell you what, we'll stop telling lies about you if you stop telling the truth about us. And Hillary Clinton probably would like that plan. Well, that is the kind of what is going on right now. The Antichrist is doing not so much telling lies about Christ, but lies about himself. Verse we read in the beginning, we're going to read it again right now. It said, let no man deceive you by any means. That day the judgment will not come unless they are falling away first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This falling away again is not non-Christian. These are Christian people who thought they're protected because of their Christian status and become deceived and fall away from the faith of Christ. Why? Because they're following a false Christ. They're following a false Jesus. They're following a satanic image of Christ who sits in the temple showing himself that he is what? God? Or showing himself that he is Christ? The Christ that is being followed by the world today is not the Christ of the Bible. It's a new Jesus Christ. Filling the same image. Using the same name. Like the body statues. But it is not Jesus Christ. It is Satan sitting in the temple of God, in the churches, or in the congregation of Israel, showing himself as is God. First off, understand that this statement by the Apostle Paul, and also the one by Jesus Christ in Mark, that we read just a moment ago, is a command. We're told not to be deceived. It's not a request. It's not just asking Christians don't be deceived. It's a command, don't be deceived. When we are deceived, it's because we want to be deceived. People don't seem to understand that. People who are deceived, first off, want to be deceived. They might think they don't, but they do. It's like the guy who has an affair with some woman, or a man has a woman has an affair with a man, and they think that person loves them, but they don't. Or even more back home to most people, is they think those friends on Facebook are really your friends. They're not really your friends. But some people have been deceived in thinking they really are. These are my friends. No, they're not. When those Israelites made the golden calf, and they danced around it, and Aaron said, "This is the God that delivered you from the Egyptians." They all bowed down and started to worship the calf. They knew better. But they deceived themselves. Why? Because it makes an excuse for the sin. Jeremiah 5:31. The prophets prophesy lies. The priests rule by their own authority or by their power. And my people love it this way. They teach lies. My people love it this way. Why do people love it? Because it gives them excuse for the sin. Isaiah 30:9. These people are like children who lie and refuse to obey. They refuse to listen to the teachings of the Lord. They tell the seers, "Don't see any more visions." They say to the prophets, "Don't tell us the truth. Say things that will make us feel good. See only good things for us. Stop blocking our way. Get out of our way. Stop telling us about God, about the Holy One of Israel." Why do they want the prophets to stop telling them the truth? Why do they want the ministers to not tell them the truth? Why do they not want to hear about the Holy One of Israel? It's because they want an excuse for their sin. They want to excuse their sin. Has human nature changed? Of course not. People still want an excuse for their sin. Christians are under the deception of this false understanding of the Antichrist, think that because they don't hang out at sinful places, because they don't read sinful books, or because they don't watch sinful movies, that these little acts of righteousness will somehow protect them from mass deception in the one world church. This apostasy is a falling away from the faith. These are Christian people. They are missionaries, they are pastors, they are Sunday school teachers. They pass out salvation tracts. They pray, they support mission fields. They don't go to the bar, they're not alcoholics or drug abusers. They're basically good, clean, conservative Christians who are about to be deceived into worshiping the Antichrist. Why? Because the Antichrist does not look like the Antichrist. At least not the Antichrist they've been taught to believe in. The deception is not that they have turned against Jesus to follow another God. That's what we're told the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to deceive Christians to follow another God. They are Christians. They'll never forsake Jesus Christ. They'll never follow another God. They're Christians. They love Christ. They'll never follow a false religion. The only way the Antichrist can get these Christians to follow him and fall away from the faith is to replace Jesus Christ like the body snatchers. And so he who sits in the temple of God showed himself he is God. They think it's Christ when it's not. He just uses the name. It's the same churches, the same book, the same name. He's the Antichrist. He's the false Christ. In order to do this, the image of Christ must be changed. Remember all the law we are told in Matthew hangs on what two commandments? If people want to protect themselves from deception, don't fool yourself thinking it's because you don't go to the bar, or because you want to walk down the aisle and got saved, or don't think it's because you go and you sing Christian songs, or you do good, you do charity work. Don't think that's going to give you protection. That's not going to give you protection from the deception. The only thing that gives you protection from the first deception is be faithful to what? The teachings of Christ. What did he say of the two great commandments? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. The second like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we know the word neighbor, without going to a long to we have in the past, in reference from Leviticus 19, and it specifically means your kinfolk. It means your kinfolk, your people. Now, the real Christ, the real Jesus says, if you want to be faithful, here's what you do. Love God and love your people. But the false Christ says, no, you love everybody. You know, Satan has arms out to the whole world. We always see pictures of Jesus like this. And I like that picture because he's welcoming those who are sinful. But you know, Satan is also like that. His arm of love is to the whole world. You're all welcome to his church. It doesn't make any difference what your morals are. It doesn't make any difference who you're married to or what you're married to. It doesn't make any difference, you know, of anything about your nature. You're just all welcome in the great love of Jesus. Come to my church. But is that really Jesus? Or is that the citizen in the temple of God showing himself that he's God? And people think he is God. This is Jesus. He loves everybody. Only Jesus loves everybody. Welcome to my church. Important to understand is Jesus said all covenant commandments. Everything in the Bible, all the commandments, hinges on those two things. Everything. That's why people argue and fight over certain church doctrines and stuff like that. It's all silliness. It all hinges on those two things. Loving your God and loving your people. Little Red Riding Hood thought the wolf was grandma. It kind of looked a little strange, but it looks enough like grandma. That's grandma. She was deceived. Likewise, the Antichrist will look like Christ. He will talk like Jesus. He will act like Jesus. He will indeed, in the minds of Christians, be Jesus. Where do they find this new Jesus? He is not in the bars. He is not in the gambling houses. He is not in some occult religion. He is not promoting anti-Christian behavior. This Antichrist is going to look, act, speak, and promote wholesome Christian values, ideals, and love. Because that is how the deception works. That's why Paul says that he will sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. And that will bring about what? The great falling away. Those Christian people who feel they're serving Jesus, they'll never fall for an Antichrist walking through the door ripping Bibles out of their hands. They'll never fall for that. But they'll fall for this Jesus. They'll fall for this Jesus, the one that you hear about in the brand new church, in the First Baptist Church, in the Assembly of God Church, in almost every church in Harrison and Arkansas. This Jesus is a Jesus of love and brotherhood. He just loves everybody. And he's a good person. And you're welcome to come to this Jesus. You're welcome. Because he loves you. Regardless of who you are or what you are, he loves you. It's mass deception. Again, I've already read that one. Let no man deceive you by any means. Don't let somebody deceive you. That's a commandment. That's not a request. You're commanded not to be deceived. For that day will not come until a falling away come first. What? A falling away from the faith. Who's falling away? It's not non-Christians. It's Christian people who are falling away because they've been deceived into a false Christ who sits in the churches showing himself that I'm God. I'm Jesus. So if this Antichrist is going to look like Jesus and promote all the teachings of Jesus, why is he the Antichrist? It's because the image and teaching of Jesus has been changed. Remember, the followers of Jesus are to obey the two great commandments we just moment ago. Love your God and love your people. But the followers of this Jesus, the one you're going to hear about, you turn on the television set, and watch the church channels, and watch Billy Graham, and watch, I started to say Oral Roberts, but he's dead. But some TV preachers. You listen to them and they sound so good. They sound so good. They're good people. And they love people. They want to help people. And they point to Jesus. They point to the cross. And they say, you got to come to Jesus. But when you get to that Jesus, what do you find? You find a Jesus that doesn't like white people. You find a Jesus that wants to miscegenate and genocide our people. You find a Jesus that wants to create the multiracial church, a miscegenized church, a church of all people. That's the Laodicean church. That's what that means. A church of all people. Jesus has been changed. He's not the same Jesus of the Bible. That Jesus of the Bible says what? Love your God and to love your people. Because we've talked about this before. Because the great rebellion must do one thing. If he's going to conquer, and Satan wants to conquer, if he's going to conquer God, he's got to cause God to sin. That's the only way he can conquer God. And this is a long sermon. I'm going to give it all to you now. But if he can only get God to sin, and if God is unable to keep the covenant he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and preserve his people, if they're genocided out, and God was unable to keep that covenant, then Satan wins the rebellion. And we're going to close real quickly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. The coming of the lawless one, or the evil one, some translations say, will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power to signs and wonders that serve the lie. Look at the big church I built. Look at our huge congregation. Look at our missionary programs. Look at our television network going through, taking the gospel around the world. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. Now, a lot of churches can really get tied up in this because to them, if you don't belong to their church, if you don't belong to their, like, maybe Baptist or Lutheran or whatever, you got to kind of belong to their church. And if you don't have that truth, then you rejected the truth. Really? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I just don't believe Satan's God sends people to hell because you went to church on a Saturday instead of Sunday. Or you went to church on a Sunday instead of Saturday. Why don't they go to hell? Because you used the wrong day. You got baptized the wrong way. or you misunderstood the rapture, or lack of the rapture, or you misunderstood this teacher, you misunderstood that teacher. I don't believe God sent you to hell because you didn't get all the points of doctrine right. If you're judged because you violated what? The two commandments that God gave. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind, and the second like unto it, on which I hinge all the law of the prophets, love your people. And if you don't love your God and love your people, if you're following a false God, a false Christ, one who welcomes the tolerance of Jesus, Jesus' tolerance, no, the tolerance of the satanic worship. Nowhere are we told in the Bible to be tolerant. Do we think Jesus is tolerant? You know that means flexible. Do you think Jesus is flexible? I mean, does he just kind of, oh, whatever. Verse 11, for this reason, God will send them a powerful delusion that they'll believe a lie. We are in closing, we are in a period of time in the history of our people. We're at the final stage of world history, perhaps. We have a people that want to be deceived because they want to, they just want to be tolerant. And they want to follow what Jesus is tolerant. They don't want to follow that bad Jesus over here in the Old Testament. They want to follow a Jesus tolerant and loving and kind and open to everybody. It don't make any difference who you're married to. It don't make a difference your sexual orientation. He just loves you. And Christ is telling you, listen, if that's what you want to believe, if that's what you want to believe, then I'm going to send a delusion so strong, so powerful, you're going to believe the lie. We have thousands and thousands and billions of Christians today who are so convinced that they have been born again, are on a pathway to eternal salvation. Why? Because they feel it in their heart, they see it in their music, they see it in the love of their congregation, they feel it, see it in their lives, they just see it all over, they just feel the love of Jesus. And Jesus tells you, you know what? If you don't love your God and love your people, I'm going to send you strong delusion. And you're going to believe a lie. You're going to believe in a Jesus Christ that is not really Jesus. He's the Antichrist, sitting in the temple, showing himself that he is God. It's all part of the satanic rebellion, the mass deception that is upon our people. But our responsibility is what? Our responsibility is to love our God and to love our people. Loving our people doesn't mean, okay, I've got the truth, put my hands in my pocket, and say, thank God, I have got the truth. Loving our people means you care for them, love them. It's not our responsibility to convert people. It's not our responsibility to change them. It's our responsibility to be a light to the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. They may hate you for it. They may call you names for it. They may lie about you. They may tell stories about you. As they did about Christ. They said he was son of a whore. They said he was a head of devil. They said all kinds of terrible things about Christ. But Christ said our responsibility is to love our people. If we want to be faithful to him, we can't be satisfied with just loving God. If we really want to be faithful, then we have to love our people also. Whether they believe it or not is beside the point. We have to be faithful. Why? Because the faithful with Christ will win this battle. Our Father, we thank you for this day and your blessing and your care for us. We pray that you would help us be faithful. Help us be strong. Help us be courageous. Not seek the good will of the world, but seek the pleasures of our Father. That we may be faithful. Reach out and touch the hearts of our people. And help them to understand. Realize who they are and their relationship with the Most High God. Their relationship as his children of covenant. We ask you to be with us and guide us and keep us in your will now and always. Help us remain faithful. In your name we ask you.
Thank you, Pastor Rob. Excellent message. Christmas. You can write to us at Christian Revival Center, P.O. Box 602, Harrison, Arkansas 72601. Christian Revival Center, P.O. Box 602, Harrison, Arkansas 72601. Or you can email us at revival@southshore.com. revival@southshore.com. Everyone, please stand and turn to page 31. Stand up for Jesus. We're going to do all four verses on that song.
Thank you.